Well, good morning and welcome to Lawrenceville Church of Christ. My name is Gabe Chavez. I've been staying with the Hughes family for a while now, and Bill was kind enough to ask me last week if I wanted to preach, and I said, of course, I'd love to. There's always an opportunity to preach to a wonderful congregation. I'd love to take it. Can you all hear me? Can you all see me? I'm sorry. I'd like to tell you a story about potential. There was a man, he was a reporter apparently, I don't really know him that very well, but his name was George Bernard Shaw. And George Bernard Shaw played the what if game before he was going to die. Mr. Shaw asked a reporter, if you could live your life over and be anybody you've known or any person from history, who would you be? And of course, the reporter was expecting him to answer Genghis Khan or George Washington, someone like that. I would choose, replied Shaw, to be the man George Bernard Shaw could have been, but never was. And 2018, we're in January right now, and this is the first Sunday of January. Of 2018, so that means that there are 12 months in this year, and those are 12 magnificent months because those months have so much potential, and in those 12 months, there is so much that you can accomplish. Think about that. That's over 365 days of potential there. I don't want to ask you these questions. Do you ever feel regret? Do you ever wish you could go back and change your past? Because you know you could have done better? Or do you ever see someone and you look at them and you think that they're wasting their life away? Do you ever pity that person and you think, man, if they had just lived up to their potential, think of the things they could have been? Or even more simply, do you ever have a conversation with someone, or maybe it's a heated argument, and then later on, maybe it's 3 a.m, you get up at night and you think, oh, if I had said this to them, I would have won that conversation, I would have been able to convince them to my side. That happens to me all the time. Or how about spiritually? Do you ever feel unsatisfied with the Christian that you are? Do you ever think that I could be a better Christian? Do you ever think, oh, if I could just be better? Well, 2,000 years ago, and the reason why you think these things is because you know that you have potential to be better than what you are. 2,000 years ago, Jesus saw 12 men with potential. And if you'll read with me in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, we read about Jesus picking these 12 men, these 12 men full of potential, just as our year and ourselves are full of potential. It says in Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, now it came to pass in those days that he went up to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles, Simon, whom he also called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. So why did Jesus pick these men? Why was the purpose for that? First, what's interesting is in verse 12, he says he went to a mountain to pray before he picked them. So that means that he prayed because he knew that it was important for him, the men that he was going to pick, it was important that he was going to pick the best men for his mission on earth. And he picked men who he wanted to be workers, who would work with him, who would talk with him, and who would walk with him. And on top of that, he wanted friends who would be with him in the hard times and in the good times. And it says in Mark chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, it says that he wanted disciples. It says, then he appointed 12, that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness and cast out demons. So the kind of men that Jesus wanted were men who could work and to have all this potential. So you would think that where he would be going to find these men would be the great schools of the Pharisees, and he'd probably try to find the men who knew their Torah by the letter. And if we thought that the Son of God was going to come on earth today, and he was going to pick 12 men to work with him, we would probably be thinking that Jesus would be going out to these academic places, or maybe men who are very well renowned in their circles and their churches. We're thinking that these were going to be the A-plus guys. He was going to find his A-team. But what kind of men were the apostles really? Before Jesus ever met them, what kind of guys were the apostles? Or what kind of men, in reading the Gospels, can we find out that these guys were? And when we look at the apostles, they were not really the best kind of men that there could be. They were kind of the lower bottom. They were the rock bottom kind of people that you wouldn't want to work with you. I mean, just think about some of these guys. You think about this. Son of God, going to come to earth. He's going to preach his mission onto all earth. And this is the kind of men he gets. He gets Peter and Andrew, two brothers. What were they, though? What kind of men were they? They weren't some scholars. What did they do for a living? They were fishermen. And on top of that, when you look at Peter and his personality style and his kind of attitude in life, he was very impetuous. He was always impulsive, saying things he probably shouldn't have said. And on top of that, he was kind of ignorant. And like I said, saying things that he didn't know what he was talking about. When you look at James and John, if you remember, they went up to Jesus and they asked Jesus to sit at his left-hand side and at his right-hand side. But on top of that, they weren't the ones who asked themselves. They got their mother to come and ask Jesus on their behalf. And if that's not a mama's boy, then I don't know what is. And when you look at Bartholomew, sometimes he's called Nathaniel, depending on the gospel, he said this about Jesus: can anything good come out of Nazareth? Ouch. And you look at Matthew, and what kind of man was Matthew, sometimes called Levi? He was a tax collector. And a tax collector back in those days was even more despised than it probably is today. Because not only were you taking money from people and collecting their taxes, but you were seen as someone who probably took a little bit more than you should have for yourself. And on top of that, you were seen as a pawn of the Romans, the Roman invaders, the Romans who were there who shouldn't have been, this evil people. Sometimes they're referred as an abomination. And you were working for those kinds of people, the people who were killing your fellow Jews, who were crucifying them, who were worshiping idols and eating unclean food. Those were the kind of people you were working with. That's the kind of man Matthew was. That's the kind of man he would have seen amongst his fellow Jews. And then on top of that, Matthew has to work with a guy called Simon the Zealot. And a zealot back in those days, the word zealot for us today means someone who's very zealous, who's very religious, who has this great zeal for the religion. But back in those days, a zealot was a member of a terrorist group that was an anti-Roman terrorist group that would go out and try to kill Roman soldiers. In fact, they carried a knife in their clothing that they hid it. And so whenever they saw a Roman soldier that was by themselves or there was a good opportunity, they would take the knife out and kill them. They were a terrorist group. And so think about this. Jesus has this one guy who is seen as a Roman's pet, and they have another guy who hates the Romans, or at least is part of a group that despises the Romans, and now he tells these two men, you guys have to work together. Do you ever think that there may have been some rift between these two men? And then you look at Thomas, and of course Thomas, he always gets that bad reputation for doubting the resurrection. And then you look at Philip, and Philip said this: show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. When he saw God manifested in the flesh as Jesus, and that still wasn't enough. And of course we have Judas. And Judas not only betrayed Christ, but instead of repenting of what he did, he went and he hanged himself. But you know what Jesus did? He grabbed these nobodies, he grabbed these guys who were pretty much ordinary men, And he turned these ordinary men into extraordinary disciples. And besides Judas, the apostles became great leaders in the early church period, as we kind of talked about in Bible class today. Look at Peter and John. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. Here, this is Peter and John, and they're having all these threats given unto them. And this is what they say. "Now, Lord, look on their threats, and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." With all boldness, stretching out their hands. You have the apostles, and you have the disciples, and you have Peter and John praying to God that they may have this zeal. And they go and they do that. When you read the book of Acts, you see the disciples and you see the apostles and you see other Christians dying for their faith or standing up to the authorities for their faith. And in Acts 2, you have Peter preaching to the masses, preaching to thousands of people about God, when a couple of chapters earlier he was denying Jesus. And then you have John facing the Roman authorities. And then you have the stories of all the other apostles who went out into the world and they preached. And if tradition is true, then all of them, except for John, died preaching that faith. So what happened? What happened to these men? What happened to these nobodies that turned them into somebodies? Well, what happened was that Jesus happened. And I'd like to talk about that potential that you can find with Christ. And how Christ can transform you into the person that Christ can see that you can become. And so I think there are three things that we need to keep in mind with reaching our potential. And with our potential for 2018 and for 2019 and for as long as God gives us permission to live. So the first thing we need to do is we need to hear Christ's teachings. We have to hear Christ's teachings. So that means you have to listen to what Christ is telling you. And not only that, but not only do you have to listen to what Christ is teaching you, but you have to believe it. Because it doesn't matter if you learn all this stuff, but if you don't believe it, then it's worthless. So how can we hear Christ's teachings? How can that apply in our lives? Well, first I can think of is that we need to study God's word. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "I have stored your word up in my heart, that I may not sin against you." In my heart. So that means that the psalmist is studying the word of God and he is putting it within his heart, making sure that he knows what God's commandments are so that he doesn't sin against God later on. Second, we need to pay attention to what Christ is teaching us. Really pay attention. Jesus was constantly telling people, as he was about to say something important, or when he had just said something important, he says, "He who has ears, let him hear." Pay attention to what I'm going to say. And that kind of goes on to the third point, which is listen in Bible class and during sermons. Because what's the point of coming to church? What's the point of going to Bible class? If all we do spending time, if all the time that we're spending on is coming here and then thinking about, my work next tomorrow, work's going to be a hard one. Or we're thinking about school and we're thinking, I have all this homework that I need to do when I get back home. No, when you are here, forget about all these other things. Because ultimately, at the end of the judgment day, God isn't going to care if you were an A+ student or if you were employee of the month. What God is going to care is if you were an A+ Christian. Because God doesn't want an A Christian. He doesn't want a B Christian. He wants an A+ Christian. So does that mean, are we internalizing and are we paying attention to what we are being taught? Or sometimes, and I know I'm guilty of this, we have a daily Bible reading. And we think, I'm going to read a chapter of the Bible every day. And then what we do is we just skim through the chapter And we completely forget about what we read. Are we actually reading the Word of God? Are we studying what He is telling us? How about in church? Are we writing down sermon notes? Or if that's not your thing, are you going back and are you listening to them? Because it's good to go back and to listen to a sermon or to a Bible class or to look at your old notes. How many of us have stacks upon stacks of notes that we've written during Bible classes and during sermons, and we just have them in a dusty corner? I tell you what, sermons and lessons have no expiration date. They're good always. This book right here does not have an expiration date. You can always go back to it and find new things that you didn't pick up before. You can always go back to some old lesson and find something else. And maybe that lesson wasn't applicable to you then, but maybe down the road, there will come a time when you will need to know about that lesson, when you will need to hear those teachings there. Maybe right now being a father or a mother isn't really applicable to you, but maybe down the line, God will bless you with that, and you will have a lesson sitting down on there in a notebook ready for you to go and to study about. So we need to hear Christ's teachings. Hear, what is God trying to tell me today? What is God telling us in the Bible? And second, we need to talk to Jesus. And the apostles, if we see them, even if they didn't understand all the time, they were always talking to Jesus. And any question or doubt they had, and yeah, sometimes they were a little stubborn and Jesus got onto them for not understanding completely. But any question or concern they had, they brought to Christ. As small as it was, they were always going and asking to Him. So how about us today? How can we talk to God? How can we talk to Christ? Well, we can't talk to Christ face to face like the apostles did. But we have something just as good or even better, because we have prayer. And God has commanded us to pray. And it is good for us to pray. It says in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So we can pray to God. We have this access to God that many people don't have. I remember hearing about during the Cold War, the President of the United States and the Premier of Soviet Russia had a phone that was directly connected to them. So they could just pick up the phone and the other one would be there. That way they would have a direct communication to them. In case that there was any problems that might have happened, they'd be there to quickly answer any of them. They had a direct line to one another. And that is the same way with God and with prayer. All we need to do is just pray and He's listening to us. We have that direct access to God. And when you read about some of these ancient pagan religions, when you read about the Aztecs, they had to do human sacrifice. Or when you look into the Greeks, they had to sacrifice animals. And they did that so they can get, or they chanted these strange incantations, or they did these strange rituals. And all of that was to bring attention to their God, so that their God might possibly listen to them. So they might have that opportunity that God will listen to their prayer and to their supplication. But with us, with the true God, all we have to do is pray, and He is there, and He is listening to us. And so if we know that God is listening to us, that means we need to have confidence when we're speaking to Him, because He is there. 1 John 5:14 says this, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." God is listening to us. Let us have confidence when we're speaking to Him. Don't think, "Oh Lord, I don't know if You're listening. Oh Lord, I am..." No, be confident. God is listening to you. He is there. He wants you to have a relationship with Him. And that means that when we know that he's listening to us, that means that when we pray, we need to pray according to his will. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, beginning in verse 13. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. So does that mean that we can ask God for a shiny new car? No, that's not it. We need to be asking God for ways that we can become better Christians. And maybe if we need a shiny new car, maybe if we need transportation of some sort, instead of praying God for that car, then instead we need to be praying God that he can help us become better workers so we can earn that money for that car. Or that we need to be praying God that he gives us opportunities to find people to preach the word of God onto. Or that if he has blessed us in some way, that we can use that blessing for the spreading of his kingdom, praying according to his will. And that means we need to pray without being anxious. We need to pray about anything, and we need to pray with a thankful heart. I had a friend of mine a while back who talked to me, and they said that they were having a problem with someone. And they said that they had talked to other people. They talked to their parents about what they should do, and their parents were like, no, you shouldn't talk to them. They talked about their friends, and their friends gave them advice. And I told them, well, did you talk to that person specifically that you had a problem with? And they said, no. Well, that's your problem right there. You need to talk to the person. You need to have that direct conversation, because there is no pure form of conversation, of communication, I mean. There's nothing, I'm a communication major, so I'm really big on this. There's no better way of communicating with someone. It's not through your phone, it's not through texting, it's not through Facebook or whatever you use. It's going up and talking to your brother or your sister. That way, it's pure face-to-face communication, if possible. And that's the same way with God. We can pray to God about, we can pray, we can have this conversation with God. And sometimes when we think when we pray, we think it has to be this very rigid way with thys and thous. But that's not what prayer is. God is your Father, and he wants to hear what is troubling your heart. And that is you expressing and opening your heart to God and telling God, Lord, I am suffering through this, but I know you are strong and you can help me through it. But it's God wants that relationship with you. God wants you to speak to him. God wants you to pray. So don't think that your problems are too petty for God to listen to, because he is your Father and he wants you to listen to him. And so Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And let the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love what it says in verse 6, with thanksgiving. Because the other end of that spectrum is that when we pray and when we talk to God, we can sometimes think he's like a little genie in a bottle. That are just, gimme, 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 gimme. Have we ever stopped and just had a prayer? Or instead of God asking God for anything, all we did was said to God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you that I woke up and I can take a breath of air. Thank you for my life. Thank you for dying on that cross for me. Thank you for creation. Thank you for loving me. Because, yes, we need to ask God for help and for support. But if we're having this two-way conversation with God through prayer, then that also means that we need to thank him for what he has given to us. And what he's given to us is more than we can ever deserve. And third, we need to walk with Jesus. And when you look at Jesus, when you call the apostles into service, he simply calls them. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. Mark 1, verse 16. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. So when Jesus said, "Come follow me," they left everything. They left their father behind, they left family, and they left their father's business behind. They left wealth. And they traveled with Jesus, being his disciples. And when you are walking with Christ, when you are being a Christian, you are becoming Christ's ambassador on this earth. An ambassador is someone who goes to a different nation and basically is a representative of that nation. They are basically that nation in that country. So when the ambassador of China comes to the United States, he is representing the people of China. When the ambassador of Russia comes, he's representing Russia. And when the Secretary of State goes to other countries, he's representing the interests of the United States there. And that is the same way with us. We are Christ's ambassadors on earth. He is not here to represent himself. We are here to represent Christ under this world. So that means, so when we think about it, if the ambassador of China or of Russia or if the Secretary of State went out and did something wrong in that country, or if they did something wrong in our country, that would give us an impression of what those kind of people are. And that's why they have to be very careful with what they say. They have to always act very proper. And that is the same way with us. We need to act like our Lord, because if not, the name, not only is our name tarnished, but the name of Christ is tarnished. And while we cannot walk with God, with Christ physically, we can walk with him spiritually. So what does that mean in your lives today? Well, that means that we need to walk where Christ leads us. Just as Christ led those brothers, James and John and Andrew and Peter, away from their old lives into a new life with him, he guides us in our lives today. John, and this is Peter talking to Peter about what his life is going to be. This is John 21, beginning in verse 18. This is Peter. This is Jesus talking about Peter, about which way he would glorify God in his death. "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And we can sometimes struggle with this because in our own lives, we wish to go our own way. We wish to go my way or the highway. But even if Christ were to tell us that we need to forsake some aspect of our lives that we really care about, that we find really important, we are to get rid of it. And we're supposed to be happy about it as well. For example, if you have two job offers, and one of these job offers means that you have to skip Sundays, but you get a lot of money. But the other job offer, you can come to church on Sundays, you can be involved with your Christian family, but you're going to get paid a little less. Or maybe leaving a job because it's not a good Christian environment. Then you need to get rid of that. Because ultimately, God knows what's best for you. And just as Peter left his business as a fisherman and followed unknown life with Christ, and he probably didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew that God, that Jesus was important, that he needed to follow him. The same way with us in our lives. Maybe there are things that we have that we cherish a lot, and maybe it's a little scary when we to give them up. But if that means giving them up and that means following Christ, then even though our lives right now, our physical lives may be hard, and maybe go through things, but at least we were faithful to God. And though we may not have a happy life in this earth, I can promise you that we will have a beautiful life in paradise. And when we see the face of God, and we are with God, and he wipes away every tear from our face, we will know that all that suffering all that hardship, all that persecution was nothing compared to the glory of seeing Christ Jesus. And just think about that. We don't know how God looks like. But if we are faithful to God and we let go of all of these earthly things that may hinder us from that, and if we walk with God and we follow his commandments, then we will have the honor and the privilege of seeing God, of having that unanswerable question answered, of seeing him for who he is. And not only that, but we will have the blessing of being called his children. So if we have the promise of seeing God and being with God in paradise, if we remain faithful, that means that we need to walk fearlessly in our lives today. Matthew 14, verse 29. This is Peter seeing Jesus walking on water. And Peter tells Jesus, "Lord, if it is you, please command me to walk on the water as well." And this is what Jesus says. "So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked onto the water to go to Jesus." So even if Jesus were to command you to walk on water during a storm, you are to do so fearlessly. And what happens in the story? Was Peter fearless all the way down there? No, what happened? He saw a storm and he started sinking because he doubted his faith. I think Peter's a great character because you see all this growth within him in the Bible. So in this part of the story, he's walking on water, which is miraculous in and of itself, but he doubts and he has a loss of faith, so he starts sinking. In John chapter 21, we see Peter on a boat, and as soon as he finds out that the guy on the shore is Jesus, what does he do? He puts on his cloak and he swims into the water. He doesn't care about drowning. He needs to get to Jesus as fast as possible. He didn't care about drowning. All he wanted to do was get to God, get to his Lord. He was fearless because he knew Jesus was with him. And Jesus is with us. And he will surely help us face our hardships. So instead, we don't need to be afraid of them. Instead, confront anything that you may be struggling with, because Christ is walking with you and helping you endure each and every one of them. And you often sometimes think, when you read the stories of the Christians who were in the Colosseums, who were being killed by gladiators, who had ruthless wild animals eating them and killing them. There are stories that as these Christians were either burning in front of spectators, or they were getting eaten by lions and savage animals, they would sing hymns. And I often think, these people could have any moment said, "I'm done, I don't need this anymore," and they could have left. But what kept them in those Colosseums? What kept them in there? What kept them suffering through all of that? It was Christ. And it was Christ's promise of eternal life. That's what kept them in there. It was Jesus. That's what kept those people who probably were nobodies when they became Christians. They became somebody. They became somebody to Jesus. And so what does that mean? That means that we need to walk fearlessly, but we also need to walk away from sin. 1 Peter 4, verse 13. 1 Peter 4, verse 13. Verse 1, sorry. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries." Doesn't matter if you've been a Christian a day, or doesn't matter if you've been a Christian 10 or 20 years. But what any sin that you have done in your life, whether it's alcoholism, infidelity, any form of addiction, you have spent and wasted enough of your life on that. You need to walk away from that kind of lifestyle. Walk away from those things. Because like Peter says here, we have spent enough of our lives in the way of the Gentiles. You have spent enough of your life in the way of the world, in the way of sins. And let me tell you something. That last time you sinned could be the last time you ever sin ever. Because you spent enough of your time wasting away in that. Instead, focus your time on walking with the Lord and on being with God. Because enough is enough. Don't waste your time anymore. Spend it on things that really matter. Spend it on walking with God. So walk away from sin. Just as Joseph walked away from Potiphar's wife, you also walk away from any sin that may be troubling you. If it's friends that might be influencing you in a bad way, walk away from them. If it's some sort of substance that is causing you to sin, walk away from it. But walk away from it. Get rid of that in your life. Because you see, when you were in the world and without God, you are a nobody. And it's not a nobody from society standards, from the world standards. You may be a somebody in the world standards. You may have wealth, you may have fame, but if you don't have God, you have nothing. And ultimately, all that work that you've lived up for, all that that hefty bank account, all those zeros that you can get, all those dollar bills will have meant nothing if you do not have God. But you see, with God, you become a somebody. Because when you think about it, if Jesus had never called his apostles, they probably would have lived ordinary lives. They would have lived comfortable lives, ordinary lives. They would have stayed fishermen or tax collectors or whatever they were. But with Jesus, Peter became a great leader. Peter stood up to the authorities. He stood up to people that he was afraid of talking to earlier. You have Matthew, who wrote a gospel, who wrote a biography of the life of his Lord. And his name is immortalized forever because of that. And you have Paul, who became a great apostle to the Gentiles. And even Judas got something out of it, because he realized the depth of his depravity, the kind of man he really was. So with Christ, you can do all things and you can reach your true Christian potential. And by doing that, you need to hear, you need to walk, and you need to talk. And you will be who you always wanted to be in the Lord. And I mentioned him earlier, look at Paul's potential. Who was Paul? Paul was murdering Christians, was sending them to jail, and he was also a well-educated, zealous man of the tribe of Benjamin and a Pharisee. And so instead of Jesus seeing this man who is shouting all these blasphemies and all this evil and seeing, "I have an enemy there," he saw a man with great potential, because he thought, if I can make that man zeal, if that man is zealous for the wrong thing, now can you imagine him for me? And as my soldier, and as my worker, Jesus saw potential in Paul. Jesus says in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 9, this is what Paul says of himself. "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And so this 2018, this year, this first Sunday that we have at Lawrenceville Church of Christ, I ask you to go out and reach your Christian potential. Not only reach potential in your personal, secular things in life, which I'm sure you may have, but go out and reach your Christian potential. And don't make it like one of these promises that people make at the beginning of the year, that I'm going to go to a gym, then I'm going to start doing these things, and then a week or two later, you're done. But really, reach your potential this year. Be the best Christian that you can be, and be that for God. So this 2018 should be a year where you reach your potential. But in order to reach that potential, first you need to take the first step, which is to become a Christian. And God has created a plan of salvation for you to start that path. He wants you to hear his word. He wants you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He wants you to repent of your old lifestyle, for you have spent enough of your time in that. And he wants you to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, who died on that cross for us, who died on that cross for you. But 3 days later, he was resurrected. He vanquished death. And think about that. If Jesus could vanquish death, which is the scariest thing of them all, then you can surely vanquish anything in your life with him. And he was raised to heaven. And he's preparing us a place right there today. And you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And not only that, but we need to remain faithful until the end, so that he may give us the crown of life, and he may look on us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Or maybe you are a Christian and you haven't been living the lifestyle that you are. Maybe you've gone back to your old ways. This is a new year. This is a new time to start fresh. This is a time to reach your potential as a Christian. And we can help you with that today. So whether you are a Christian who hasn't been living the way you're supposed to live, or maybe you want to start on that path, we are here today to help you on that path to reach your potential, so that one day you can be with God in paradise, and we will be happy for all eternity. So if there's any way we can help you today, please come forward as we stand and sing.